time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us here today at again at Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study of the parable of the prodigal sons, and today we conclude by looking again at this last older son. I said yesterday, and I quoted a statement said by Thomas Watson that's good to again cite here as we begin today's broadcast. Thomas Watson, in his book, Heaven Taken by Storm, said, "The best mirror is not that which is the most gilded, but that which shows its truest face." And what he meant was that the best mirror is not that which is covered with gold and has a beautiful frame and is desirable to the eye and appears to be the best one. It's not always the one who looks the best or puts on the outward display of obedience that is the true Christian. Rather, the one who shows his truest face, the one who knows his heart and has come to God empty and in need of him. And I posed the question yesterday, how do you show those in the house, those in the church, their hearts when gathering week after week when the tendency is not to see anything wrong at all? How eloquently Jesus does this in this parable. All the great religious leaders of the day are criticizing him for receiving those who are unclean, and Jesus, in this very clear parable, pictures God as clothing unclean sinners with his best, covering them with the glorious garment of Christ's righteousness. Now, this is where we come to this section. The older son was in the field, and of course, as the younger prodigal had returned to his father, and there had been rejoicing and the fatted calf killed, we read that his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But, we read, he was angry and would not go in. Now, as we come to this parable, Jesus is communicating something very important to us. The older brother was in his father's house and despised him. The older brother shared at his father's table, and yet he had no interest in knowing him. How can that be? How could you be in the church? How could you attend the church for years and have the problem still of not knowing the Father? Reminds me of Jesus, and I quoted this yesterday, of Jeremiah citing to the religious people, God's people of that day, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is a moving verse that our Lord is concerned that we know him and understand him. And friends, that is what the Christian life is all about. Why is this a reoccurring thing in the scripture? Why does Jesus continually have to say this? Why did the Lord have to give through Jeremiah's prophet this message to the religious community? Well, undoubtedly because there's a real problem of people claiming that they believe in God without really knowing him. J.I. Packer said in his very well-known book, Knowing God, he said, "Disregard the study of God. You send yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction, no understanding of what surrounds you. This way you can waste your life and lose your soul. You who are in his house, do you know him? You who break bread at the Lord's table, you see, do you know him? Do you understand him? Are you growing in your knowledge and love for him? Think about it. Do days go by, maybe even weeks, when you do not even pray or acknowledge him? This is a very real thing to ask and a very important thing to ask. Where are our priorities? Where is your time spent, on the vanities of this life or the pure Word of God? Do you know the Father? Does your soul pant and thirst for the living God, as Psalm 42 says? You see, we must come to the point of delight and joy in God our Father. You see, the older son was so far removed from his father that we read in verse 28 that he was angry, indignant, and he would not go in. Isn't that something, the play on words here? He would not go in. His younger son, the younger prodigal, came home. He came to himself and he went back. This older son would not go in. It actually took the father going out to him. How similar that is to the brother, the father, going down the road after his younger son who had came home. And the same picture here is that the father has to go out to the older prodigal because he is just as lost. Listen to verse 29 of Luke 15. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Here, finally, after being all of these years in his father's house, his hypocrisy of the older brother comes right to light. Notice that he stresses the fact that he has been with the father, and he's kept his commandments, so to speak. He didn't see his own heart. He didn't realize that being in the church, his heart was still corrupt and it was still self-righteous. And the question then, friends, is have you come to recognize that being in the house, you are just as in need of God's saving grace? Have you come to see your own hearts? This young man had an outer righteousness, but inwardly his heart was corrupt. He was a ravenous wolf, as Christ describes, hating and despising the fact that the father rejoiced over his lost brother. One pastor said this, and hear this carefully, friends. A religion that cannot receive those whom Christ receives is of Satan. It's of Satan. Isn't it interesting that Luke includes another parable just a few chapters later about a Pharisee and a tax collector, the same two figures referenced at the beginning of this parable? Listen to Luke 18. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the point of Jesus is that there's no place for the self-righteous in the kingdom of heaven. And here the older brother almost rebukes the father with this statement, "This son of yours, O dad," as if he may be your son, but he's not my brother. And in this parable, we have the essence of true and false religion. A true Christian sees in his own heart corruption. He falls before his father with repentance and with longing sorrow to know Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to be with him, thirsting for him every day of life, looking only to the life-giving water that comes through the blood of his son. True religion is not a cold, dry, dead thing done out of empty duty, of which there's no appreciation for God, but rather it's a vibrant, alive, full of a desire to know and love the living God who has saved them with the blood of his son. A hypocrite, my friends, always feels that he's been mistreated. A hypocrite always feels that he's been treated unfairly in this life. Always points to their own good works, always points to their own involvement, whatever the means by which they think God should be pleased with them. And oh, how it is possible to be in the church, to do a lot of right things according to the word, even do it with some sort of conviction, and yet all of this with a resentful heart. with a heart that has no desire for the Father. May that never be found in any Christian. And to close this series this week, the parable leaves us with an open-ended question. The father comes to the older son and he pleads with him. Verse 31, and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." And therein ends the parable. You see, the older son's fundamental misunderstanding was that the feast was not for the younger son. May I say that again? The older son's fundamental misunderstanding was that the feast was not for the younger son. The feast was for the father. The feast was a result of his joy for the return of his son. And you see, God is preparing a feast to dine with those who have turned to Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith. Which son then today do you identify with? I pray that in some way and in every way, you see your life through the one who is often designated as the prodigal son, the one who fell before his father, the one who cried out, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Give me a place in your house. I will be a doorkeeper, right, in your house rather than dwell in the tents of wickedness." That's the essence of what it means to be a Christian. And Jesus leaves the question wide open, doesn't he? Will the older brother come into the feast? We're not told. But the point is that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which has been lost. He has come to claim through his precious blood a multitude that no man can number. And for that, my friends, we should rejoice. Just as the angels in heaven and God himself rejoices when sinners come into his kingdom and find life, have you come before him as a true son? I leave you again with the opening words of this whole section. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained. What type of a son are you today? Have you come to see your sin and your misery? And have you fled to Jesus Christ in true faith? Well, then let me know. There is a feast prepared. The Father is celebrating himself and preparing a feast for all of those who love him. May you be found in Christ today and know what it means to be brought into the family of God as an adopted son through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In a day of mindless Christianity and, simply put, compromising of the truth, we are called to return to a biblical Christianity where Christ and Him crucified is preached with zeal. We invite you to the Linden United Reformed Church this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship times. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or you may call 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.